312-981-7200 for talk and text. Get those car questions in, and let's welcome Tom Appel to the show. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. How you been?
I'm real good, thank you.
Yeah. How were your holidays? Did you have fun?
They were great. I managed to work from home for most of the time, so it was very relaxing.
Yeah, very, very cool. All right, well, welcome back. And we're I'm very pleased to have you as the first guest of 2018.
I am honored. That is very cool.
Yeah. Tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive, Tom.
Yeah, Consumer Guide Automotive, consumerguide.com. That's a great place to go for new car and used car reviews. If you're looking for a little bit more depth from your car fund, check out the cgdailydrive.com blog. You can get there from consumerguide.com, too. That's where we try to have some fun with stuff. We go in-depth on reviews. We look at old ads, stuff like that. And that's where our auto show coverage lives. And we're pulling into auto show season.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk about the L.A. Auto Show.
Yeah, that happened.
And also, for people who are interested, this is a big one. We're going to talk about the 2018 Consumer Guide Best Buys.
Yep, those are all up there, too.
Yeah, so we'll get to that a little bit later on. We got some other news stories concerning cars and automotive questions. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tom, what are you driving? What have you been driving?
Oh, I've been driving the strangest thing. It is the 2018 Dodge Durango SRT 392, and it's that SRT 392 that makes it strange. So it's a Dodge Durango, midsize or large crossover, packed full of giant Hemi engine. Giant red Brembo brakes that pop through the wheels and look cool. So it's a very aggressive crossover. Not for everyone. A lot of exhaust noise, but a lot of fun to drive.
And what else have you been? What are other people driving around the place?
Well, we've got a couple of vehicles in there right now. One of the great ones we had was the Volkswagen Atlas. Volkswagen got serious about crossovers and brought out a midsize crossover for 2018. We had that one through the office. I drove it Christmas Day. I had it right around then. And our guy Damon, I think, drove it to Iowa. Very nice vehicle.
All right. Very, very cool. And people can read about all about this at consumerguide.com and follow you on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us, and we've got more automotive stories to talk about. We'll talk about Consumer Guide Automotive, and of course, we will tell you the 2018 Consumer Guide Best Buys and answer any and all of your automotive questions when Tom joins us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You know what I forgot to mention? I wanted to thank all the listeners. You know, it's nice to come back to work to like a stack of really nice thoughts and Christmas cards and holiday cards and stuff like that. So I want to thank everybody. Sven Gulli sent me the coolest card. The best one is Sven Gulli. But I also want to mention this. Some people send gifts, and I forgot to mention this, and it's sitting right in front of me. But I want to thank Dr. George Loss from Elmhurst. Dr. George Loss from Elmhurst. He sent a note that says, I don't hear every minute of the show, but I did hear you mention this guy. Enjoy it, even though you drink coffee. And thanks for all you do for us night owls. Merry Christmas. And I just wanted to take this out. Dan, I showed this to you.
Yes.
It is a coffee mug. It doesn't necessarily have to hold coffee. I can put other liquids in it. And it's got the hiking dude from the cliffhanger game who gets killed every morning on Price is Right. It's got him on it. And so he sent me, Dr. George Loss sent me a coffee mug with the yodeling idiot on it who gets murdered every morning on The Price is Right.
You can't sleep until you hear his yodel.
I can't sleep until he yodels and falls off the mountain and dies. That's what yodeling, and then he's dead. But anyway, it's fantastic. It's got him on it. He's got that goofy little smile on his face that he always has and his sideways glance. So anyway, I want to thank Dr. Loss for sending that. I wanted to mention that before we dive into the car stuff. So anyway, thanks all to all the listeners and everything. Very, very cool. And I hope everybody has a great 2018. We'll take a break. And when we come back, Tom Appel is going to talk. We're going to talk cars right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Happy New Year, everybody. Glad to be back. We got a fun show for you here. We're kicking it off with Tom Appel as our first guest of 2018. He's a Consumer Guide Automotive publisher, and he contributes to the Daily Drive blog. We've got a lot of car and automotive stories to talk about, and we also will take your questions if you have any and all car or automotive questions. 312-981-7200. 312 800-981-7200. Let's get back to the conversation. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
All right. Hey, let's talk about this Volvo subscription service.
Yes.
I found this story to be really interesting, and how impactful do you think this is going to be?
I think that this is going to be a really big deal. For people who don't know, Volvo just launched a new small crossover, the XC40, that slots below the small crossover they already have, the XC60. And one of the things they're going to do with this vehicle is offered as a subscription to people as opposed to purchasing or a lease. What this means is that you don't have to commit to owning the vehicle. Now, there's an interesting point here because the XC40 is a variation of it. It's going to be launched in the U.S. It's going to be the launch vehicle for a Chinese company, Geely, that owns Volvo. So there's a lot of things in play here, and that vehicle is going to be launched exclusively using the subscription service.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then that was going to be a little bit more committed to the subscription, where you're just going to pay a monthly fee, and when you don't have the car, you just don't have to pay the monthly fee anymore. And they think that this is their way to get younger buyers into these vehicles, because no one wants to commit to buying a vehicle anymore.
Now, what is it? There are certain things that it covers, right, in terms of repairs as well?
Yeah, it covers everything. It's great. You pay one fee. In the case of the Volvo, I think it starts at $500 or $600 a month. You pay one fee a month. That seems a little bit high, but it includes insurance, it includes maintenance, it includes everything but gasoline. And theoretically, it includes licensing and city stickers as well. We'll see how that plays in some markets. I don't think that this thing's been entirely realized yet. I don't know if in Chicago you can have the same car for 6 months and not have a sticker on it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays. But theoretically, it covers everything, so all you pay for is gasoline and your monthly fee.
What do you think is going to... do you think this is going to be a success? How do you feel about this?
I think it is, and I think they're doing this right. Cadillac's already playing with this in New York for very expensive cars, and so is Porsche. But I think that the Volvo's working with these entry-level cars, and then this new Chinese company, which is going to be called Lynk, L-Y-N-K, more affordable cars. And I think that this could work with younger buyers who don't want to commit to owning a car, but they run into a period of time for 5-6 months where they think they need one. Where they just want to change cars a lot. I think this might work. I think it's going to change the way we think about owning a car. You no longer own it for 4, 5, or 6 years. You own it for a month or two or a year.
You think this is going to impact? Do you think other companies are going to try this out, the subscription? Obviously, if it's successful, it might influence other companies.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to be watching this. And I think everyone's really interested in how this goes. And I think that how Volvo does this with the small car, and then how this Lynk company comes in and does this, if it works for them, I think everyone's going to leap on this.
Interesting. When has this started already for Volvo?
Not yet. That vehicle is going to be hitting the ground, like, right now. So we're sort of at the very beginning of it.
Okay. All right. Interesting story. Really interesting idea as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tell me about the... your impression of the L.A. Auto Show.
Yeah, big show, lots of product. A couple of really interesting things that happened there. At the extreme high end, Chevy launched a new ZR1 version of the Corvette, $125,000, fastest Corvette ever.
Wow.
Interesting that the coupe version of the car was launched in Dubai at the Dubai Auto Show, and then the convertible was here in America at the L.A. Auto Show. So that's the extreme high end. And at the little end, we've got two tiny little crossovers that are, I think this is the future. This is what we're going to be see people filling out their, manufacturers filling out their product lines with. Nissan launched the Kicks, which is a subcompact little crossover, and Hyundai did the same thing with a vehicle. The Hyundai Kona.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that we'll be seeing tiny little crossovers now if they catch on.
Now, so how big is the LA Auto Show?
It's a big show. Yeah. You know, the big ones in the U.S. are New York, L.A., Chicago, and Detroit. And L.A. sort of kicks it off right around Thanksgiving, and then we have Detroit coming up in a week or two.
Okay. And are you going to see some of the same things at each of these shows?
Generally what happens, especially when you get to the Chicago show, even if it wasn't launched there, everything is there. So everything kind of gets carried around. What you don't normally get is the reveals. And the auto shows love to claim that they had reveals or launches there.
And did they have any other launches at LA?
Yeah, a couple of big ones. Trying to think what was big at L.A. We had the big Corvette. We had the little cars. A lot of mid-size crossovers. An interesting move by Lincoln. If people remember last year, Lincoln launched the Continental, which replaced the MKX. Well, they're getting away from these silly alphanumeric names, and they launched a vehicle they call the Nautilus, which is actually a replacement for the old MKX. So Lincoln's going back to traditional car names, and I think people are going to be very happy about that.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so that's L.A. And when is the Chicago show's in February, correct?
Yeah, February 10 is the first day of public access to the show, and it'll run through the 19th.
Runs through the 19th. And is that the longest auto show in America?
I think it is, because it covers two full weekends, which is nice.
Yeah. All right. That's always been the case here, boys. The auto show has always been very, very popular here in Chicago, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. Actually, the Chicago Auto Show has the highest percentage of, what do they call it, household penetration. I think that twice as many households send somebody to the auto show in Chicago than they do in Detroit.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's just an amazingly popular event.
That's crazy. All right, well, looking forward to that, and obviously we'll find out from you what's going on there when we talk to you the next time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We got some people calling in and texting in. If you have any questions that are automotive-related or car-related, you need some advice or some help, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And here is Nancy on WGN. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Tom. Hey,
hello.
I just traded in my 2015 Buick LaCrosse, and I leased it. So I have now a 2018 Buick LaCrosse, and I've had it since Saturday. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm not too impressed with it.
Oh.
I just think that it's loud. And the 2015 was not like that. Have you driven one?
I have not driven the 2018. For people who don't know, the vehicle has been updated a little bit for the new year. And loud is not generally a characteristic that we associate with Buick. Can you tell me what kind of noise you're hearing? Is it road noise or wind noise?
You know, it just seems like I can hear the engine.
The engine. That's interesting.
Let me ask you this, Tom, for maybe Nancy. You've only had the car since Saturday. Does the weather have anything to do with this, Tom?
It can on startup.
Okay.
Yeah, when it's really cold, an engine will make more noise because the engine's going to be revving harder, faster at startup just to get things up to speed.
Yeah.
It's got to do things for emissions. It's got to do things to warm the car up. So it is louder at startup. So that could be a temporary, just deep winter condition. But I'm surprised that you think it's loud. And if you continue to think it's loud compared to your old car, I'd bring it back to the dealer and mention it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of doing today. I woke up and I heard you and I thought I'm just going to ask you about it and seeing if you've driven one. Okay.
All right, Nancy. Good luck.
Thanks.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. We're going to take a break for the news in a couple of minutes, Tom. And when we come back, we're going to talk about proper tires and driving in the snow, since it's, you know, we're everything is so weather-related right now.
Sounds good.
You know what I mean? Like talking about how cold it is and driving in these kind of conditions and then the snow. We also have winter tires for cars designed for fuel efficiency. We want to talk about that story as well. And that's all coming up. Tom, okay, hang on.
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. He joins us every hold on a second. I'm pressing the wrong button here. All right, there. See, I've been away. I don't even know what's going on. I can't, Dan, run the phone system. I forgot how to press the button.
You didn't hang up on him. You're fine.
Good. I'm glad. As long as I didn't hang up on him, then everything is okay. Well, Tom is hanging on. He did not get hung up on. If you want to follow him on Twitter, you can at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. And you can also check out consumerguide.com and cgdailydrive.com for more information. We got lots more to talk about and lots of questions from you guys via talk and text. And that's 312-981-7200 right here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday, remember, get your requests in. We'll play them a little bit later on, one artist, two songs. And we are also going to talk about the best and most popular karaoke songs. And Skip Skipley is on the way. We got another edition of the pop-up video contest coming up later as well. And the news is coming up right now in basically 7 seconds. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower, overlooking a very, very, very cold and icy Michigan Avenue. Stay warm, everybody. Our phone number and text number, 312-981-7200 for any car or automotive-related questions. Also, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. Get your requests in, 312-981-7200. Tom Appel joins us once a month. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He's contributed to their Daily Drive blog, and he's here to answer any and all of your automotive questions. And we've got other car-related stories to talk about as well. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, you know, the weather outside is frightful, as we've heard. It's very, very cold out there. And, you know, there's also a lot of snow on the ground. Not as much. I mean, but we'll get hit with more snow, obviously, during the season. And there's a question about winter tires that are urged for cars designed for fuel efficiency. Talk a little bit about that before we jump into winter driving.
Yeah, and that's a great point. If you bought a vehicle like a Prius or a Chevy Volt or a Nissan Leaf, those vehicles are equipped with low rolling resistance tires, and it's a harder compound rubber that just makes the car easier to roll. There's less resistance from rolling. The good side of that is those tires last forever, and they improve your fuel economy. The bad news is that in certain conditions, usually icy or cold conditions, there's less grip and a little less braking action. So you can feel that under adverse conditions. And if you come to a point where you notice it and it bothers you, one of the recommendations is to actually go with a winter tire. One of the most famous versions of that is the Bridgestone Blizzak, which is a great snow tire, and a lot of people in Chicago will do that. And that's one thing you can do. Or just to replace those tires entirely with all-season tires is another thing you can do.
Mm, okay. And remember the days when we used chains, Tom?
Yeah. I do actually remember chains.
Yeah, I totally remember. I've got to put the chains on the car. So it's just so weird. And Kathy sends in a text, and we've been getting a lot of questions, similar questions to this, from listeners who are, you know, curious. What tips can you give us for running our cars during cold weather? Should we start it every couple of days, even if we're not driving? Should we wait and let it warm up so that you can drive after we start? What are some of the common tips that you can give?
Yeah, that first one's a great point. Modern cars especially have a lot of electronic equipment that's always running. So if your car sits for a week or 2 weeks, you could kill the battery. And that's it, that situation is exacerbated by this horribly cold weather. Mm. Battery capacity drops dramatically. The capacity of the battery under your hood of your car drops probably by half in this weather. So its ability to start the car is going to be compromised. So yes, if your car's going to sit for a few days, it's probably not a bad idea to just go outside, start it, and let it run for 5 to 10 minutes to let the battery charge.
Okay. All right. And 312 area code says, I'm looking for a small with an automatic transmission, not a CVT, but I'm looking at a Corolla, but then went to a CVT. I was going to look at a Corolla, but I went to a CVT. What do you think?
Yeah, the CVT, which is continuously variable transmission, is increasingly replacing traditional, what we used to call stepped transmissions, 3, 4, 6, 8 speed, because they're a little bit lighter and they're more fuel efficient, and they're actually cheaper to build as well. So there's all sorts of good stuff there. The bad news is they don't feel the same. So if you're my age, I'm in my 50s, I've always been driving step transmissions. CVTs can feel weird. If you're a younger person getting into a car and you have no expectation of how it should feel, you don't care. You don't care. And you also get used to it pretty quick.
By the way, how's your kid doing driving?
She's doing good.
Yeah.
We actually took her out when the snow started falling and had her hit a parking lot just to hit the brakes hard and get a chance to see how that feels.
Yeah. Okay. Good. We got a whole bunch of people on the line, Tom.
Okay.
All right. Here's Chris on WGN. Chris from Midway. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Nick. Welcome back, man.
Thank you, buddy.
It's strange hearing your voice because everybody else has been on the line, but you know what I'm saying? Tom, I got a question for you. I got a Hyundai Santa Fe, and I got a recall for the springs in the front. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, that's a really weird recall, and it's interesting that you have one. It was understood that most of those were contained on dealer lots, but it's an important recall. Apparently, one of the most reliable parts of the car, the front springs, can break. There's a batch of those that can break, and when it breaks, they puncture the tire.
Oh.
So immediate loss of control. So, yeah, you want to make sure you get that fixed as soon as possible. I don't think there's a problem with parts on those because I think they made them up pretty quickly, and I think it's a fairly small number of vehicles affected. But, yeah, you don't want to let that one sit.
Wow.
Yeah, right. They said to bring it right to the dealer, so I was just wondering.
Yeah, get it done, Chris.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Nick. Welcome back.
Thanks,
Happy
buddy. Take care. You too. All right, Tom. Hey, listen, before we get back to the texts and phone calls and stuff, I love this. Why the rich and famous are starting to prefer pickup trucks. Are we going to see a bunch of rich, famous people driving around in pickups? And what is the popularity of pickups now?
Well, that's already happening. You know, this story was more or less born of the fact that Mercedes-Benz is starting to build a pickup truck, the Model X. The X-Class vehicle, which is not immediately scheduled for U.S. debut, so this may not be coming to the United States, but this is indicative of a trend that's just ridiculous, and that's that pickup trucks are getting more and more and more expensive. And I've had one guy from Ford tell me they can't find a ceiling on the price of a pickup truck, because increasingly people who like luxury vehicles just love all the space in a pickup truck. They love the ride height. They love the all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, and everything is there, plus they get a pickup bed. And so they keep building higher-end models of these cars. So now we have top-line Ford heavy-duty diesels that'll break $100,000.
Wow.
And like a compact GMC Canyon in Denali form getting you close to $50,000.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. But people just love spending money on their pickups.
Man, oh, man. Wow. So they like the pickups.
They like them, and they're just a huge profit center for the American car companies.
Wow. Okay. All right. I've never driven a pickup.
I'd rather like the experience.
Yeah, I've never driven one. Driven one. So here's Judy on WGN. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Good. I'd like to talk to Tom about a car.
Okay.
I need a car that is four-door, GPS, and I don't need a fancy car, but an older car, because I'm going to buy a brand new. I lost my car last month. I was T-boned.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Are you
okay? Well, I spent 2 days in the hospital, but I'm fine.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because they had to cut me out of my seatbelt.
Oh, no.
Because I got hit on the driver's side.
Oh, no.
And I said goodbye to the car, but I got my plates, and that was the most important thing.
Yeah. Well, so what kind of car? I mean, what kind of car did you have, Judy?
I had a 95 Pontiac.
Wow.
And I drove it for 17 years.
How many miles were on it?
239,000.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Tom, any suggestions?
Yeah, and one of the questions I have, did you say that you wanted something that has GPS, well, has a navigation system, but isn't fully loaded?
Right, but I would just a standard GPS and four doors. I want a car. I don't want a van. I don't want a Subaru. I want a car.
Well, we've reached a sort of an impasse there, because typically the navigation system is generally available only on top-line models. So you can go with a smaller vehicle, something like a Honda Civic Hyundai Elantra, something like that, where you can get into the model with the navigation system fairly affordably, or you look for a vehicle that has Apple CarPlay, and you can use your phone as the navigation system.
Mm. Oh, I have a flip phone. I don't have the fancy phone.
Okay. Yeah. Then I would be looking then at a compact car, and probably one of the most affordable ways to do that is probably a Hyundai Elantra, I think, has the lowest price of entry onto a navigation system.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Judy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right, bye. There you go. There's Judy. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And here is George on WGN. Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Nick, and hi, Tom.
Hello.
I have a kind of an unusual question. I drive SUVs or crossovers because I've got a 150-foot driveway with a 40-degree incline, and so I need, and I have bad knees, so I need to put my garbage can and my recycling can, you know, in and drive it down and drive it back up. So that's the vehicle of choice, but with bad knees, I have trouble finding a vehicle that has a nice wide open door frame where I can get in and out easily.
Yeah, this, we've talked about this before, Tom. This has come up before. Older people who have trouble getting in and out of cars. My dad has problems with his knees and often has some trouble getting out of the car. What are some of the cars that are suited for people who have these kind of ailments?
Yeah, if you're looking for like a giant hatch and you're looking for a low load floor and low entry point, or low H point, they often say for hip point, you know, a nice one, I like the Chevy Traverse, which was just redesigned for 2018. That's got all sorts of space, a huge hatch area, and is reasonably easy to get into. And then any minivan is a good choice there, too.
Mm. Yeah, well, I don't like the idea of a minivan, and I usually buy higher-end vehicles. I'm driving a Lexus RX 350 now.
Okay, and that's a great vehicle.
And it's great, except it's not easy for me to get in and out of.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, you know, it looks good, and I don't. I thankfully I'm in one of the a position where I don't have to worry about price, and I don't have to worry about, you know, trade-ins or anything like that. But are there any others that on a higher end that are easy to get in and out of? Or?
Yeah, you're already at a point where you're at a very car-like vehicle. The RX is a fairly low access point. I think that what you could do is go to a slightly smaller vehicle, and a vehicle you might look at is the Lexus. Lexus has a, what is it called now? I can't think of it, but there's a one smaller crossover at Lexus with a slightly easier to get in point. And then, obviously, the Acura RDX is a great vehicle in that class.
Hmm.
Which is just a little bit smaller, and it might be a little bit easier to get into.
Yeah.
RDX. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, George.
And is there any way to check cost or dealer cost or you know, invoice pricing on vehicles? I usually, you know, just email and once I decide on something, and then, you know, I just see what quotes they'll give me.
Yeah, the easiest way to do that these days is to sort of triangulate, and I would use Kelley Blue Book for their pricing information, and they'll give you what's called a fair price, and I would check that number against information you get from TrueCar.com, where they can give you prices for recent transactions in your area. And when you have both of those, you have a pretty good idea of what those are selling for and what you should be offering. If you come in maybe just a little under on a good day, you might be able to beat those prices.
Okay. All right, George, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Nick.
All right,
thanks, Tom.
Bye. There you go. All right. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Consumer Guide Best Buys for 2018, okay?
Cool.
All right. We'll be right back. Tom Appel is here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to ask Tom a question or get your 2 for Tuesday requests in as well. We'll break right here on WGN and be back with more. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio here on a Tuesday morning. Skip Skipley's on his way. Esmeralda and I will battle it in another pop-up video edition. Glad to be back. We're going to be talking about karaoke and most popular and best karaoke songs and the ones that you love to perform when you go to the old karaoke. It's 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. Yeah. 312-981-7200. Right now we're talking with Tom Appel, who is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He contributes to their Daily Drive blog. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And we welcome Tom back to the show. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about the 2018 Consumer Guide Best Buys. And what is, explain to everybody the Consumer Guide Best Buy is and what the criteria is.
Yeah, the Best Buys are the cars we chose. They're based on everything that we've driven, and we have to drive the vehicle. Our picks for the new year, for 2018, these are the best cars in 20 different classes, and that's how we divide up the market, mostly small, medium, and large, and based on premium and mainstream vehicles. And we have 4 full-time editors that sit down and compile their notes for 12 months, and this takes a full day and a lot of pizza and a little bit of arguing. But we finally come up with our list. We publish it every year right around the end of November, just in time for the LA Auto Show.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. Subcompact cars.
Yeah.
The Kia Soul and the Toyota Yaris IA?
Yeah, there's 2 great picks there. The Kia Soul is It's called a subcompact, but it actually makes fantastic use of space. It's one of those vehicles that I say passes the four-tom test, which means that you could put four guys my size in that vehicle and be pretty happy about it.
Okay.
And then the Yaris is just a tremendously good deal. It's a very small sedan packed with safety equipment and a really good base price. It's sort of a one-price car. There's no options. Starts around 17 grand.
Okay, compact cars.
Compact cars, lots of good choices here, but the Honda Civic is back. The Toyota Prius was a vehicle we really like. And the Volkswagen Golf, it's a great car. It combines fun with fuel economy and just general smart design.
Premium compact cars.
We have the Audi A4 and the all-road version of that, which is sort of a little crossovery version of that. Really nice, fun, tight cars. And the Cadillac ATS, which is really overlooked, that car is just tremendously fun to drive.
Would you ever in your life have thought that you would say the word Cadillac and compact in the same sentence?
Not without wincing.
Yeah.
Because there was the Cimarron in the 80s, which was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Cadillac, it's a fine, small car, and it's selling actually relatively poorly, which means that you could probably get a good deal on one of these.
Okay. Midsize.
This is a return to normalcy for us. After years of not having both these cars on the list, the Honda Accord and Toyota Camry are back.
Wow. How long were they off the list?
For a while.
Wow.
For a while. We had some problems with the Camry having to do with just balance, I think. It's always been a very good, reliable car, but the new Camry and the new Accord, both of which are new for 2018, fantastic cars.
Okay. And then the premium midsize.
The Acura TLX, one of the most overlooked cars in that class, is one in the Lexus ES. The Lexus ES is a luxury car for people who don't care about cars. It is relatively affordable and incredibly refined.
Okay. Large cars.
Yeah, the Buick LaCrosse, which someone just mentioned they thought was loud, we find it to be a very refined car. And then sort of a cheaper version of that car, the Chevrolet Impala.
Oh, yeah. The old Impala.
Yep.
Premium large.
Genesis, which is Hyundai's new luxury brands. We like the Genesis G90 in that class. It is so much less expensive than something like a 7 Series BMW or S-Class Mercedes.
Okay, now we're getting into the fun stuff. Sporty performance cars.
Yeah, we've got the Fiat 124 Spider,
mm-hmm.
Which is a little convertible. The Ford Mustang, which is kind of an obvious choice every year.
Every year, yeah.
The Mazda MX-5, and then the Volkswagen Golf GTI, which is a Volkswagen Golf stuffed full of turbocharged four-cylinder goodness.
So you guys like the Golf.
Love the Golf.
Yeah.
Love the Golf. Yeah.
Okay. Premium sporty performance cars.
You cannot beat the Corvette. You can still put one together for under $60,000 and go out and challenge Ferraris.
Can you really? 60 grand? Under 60
yeah.
grand? Wow.
Yeah, you can still do that. It's hard to find one like that. You may have to order it. You may have to call around, but you can equip one like that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Compact crossovers.
Yeah, this is a hot segment now. The Honda HR-V. The Mazda CX-3, and the Nissan Rogue Sport, which is new this year.
Okay. Compact crossovers?
One of the best cars you can buy flat out, the Mazda CX-5. That is such a great little vehicle.
Mm.
And the Nissan Rogue, nice, very roomy.
Premium compact crossover?
The Acura RDX, which is lots of fun, and the Lincoln MKC. This is sort of an overlooked vehicle with very refined, nice interior.
Okay. Midsize crossover?
Honda Pilot, which is just a great vehicle, and the Toyota Highlander.
Mm.
Perfect family vehicle.
Okay. Premium midsize crossover.
Acura MDX if you want to have some fun, and the Volvo XC90 if you love beautiful interiors.
Okay. Will you be able to subscribe to that one?
I bet you will. Not yet, but
okay.
I bet you will.
All right. Large SUVs.
Dodge Durango. This is just right in between midsize and large. It's a great size. You can get a V8 for towing. Good vehicle.
Okay. Large, premium large.
Yeah, beautiful interior, really great road handling. You've got the Audi Q7. If you want a vehicle that's really big, you can tow and stuff a lot of people in. We like the Escalade.
Yeah, that's a beautiful car, I think.
Yeah.
Minivans.
Pacifica. You just can't beat the balance of refinement and luxury.
Okay. And compact pickups.
Chevy Colorado and the clone GMC Canyon, very nice, very balanced. And the Honda Ridgeline is the pickup for people who don't want a pickup.
Okay. Wow. All right. I love the names of pickups, too, by the way.
They're good.
They're fantastic. Okay, large pickups?
Chevy Silverado and GMC Sierra. They're mostly the same. GMC gets a little nicer inside. We really like those for the 5.3-liter V8 and just general refinement.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Dodge Ram 1500. It's got the all-coil suspension, which is something that's exclusive to that vehicle. Ride and handling are great.
Okay. And then electric vehicles.
The Chevy Bolt, that's the all-new Bolt, all-electric, 238 miles of range. We're very impressed by that. And the Volt, which you can plug in for 50 miles of range.
Wow. And then finally, family vehicle was the last category.
Yeah, and we went back to the Chrysler Pacifica. It's just a great one if you've got three or more kids.
Okay. And I want to touch on this. You guys did a best-looking cars of all time. And you guys got to pick it. Now, first of all, I wasn't aware, Tom, that at an organization that publishes stuff about cars, that you actually had a guy named Jack Stewart working there. Does anybody call him Jackie?
No. No one does.
No, I can't believe that.
No. But he is a bit of an Anglophile, so he's perfect.
There you go. Okay. Well, listen, talk about your picks for the best-looking cars of all time.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for things that are German. I love German design, and the Gullwing, the Mercedes-Benz Gullwing of the mid-50s, I think is just one of the most stunning vehicles.
Oh, it's so cool looking. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And then I love the BMW 6 Series of the 80s. Kind of a forgotten thing, but it was like the big car with two doors.
Yeah.
Beautiful, clean lines. I love the second generation Camaro. I've got the Camaro and Firebird, and I've got the 70 Firebird on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love those cars.
Yeah, yeah. I had my first, you know, major car that I bought used was a 77 Firebird.
Yeah, what a nice car.
Very cool. Well, it was in the shop a lot. I have to say.
I believe that.
Yeah, it was in the shop a lot. Well, people can take a look at these pictures here at Consumer Guide, the 15 best-looking cars of all time. And how many guys you guys pooled it all together, everybody in the office?
We got four guys together for this one.
Okay. All right. Very cool. One of them is named Jackie Stewart.
That's right.
a couple of quick texts before we let you go, Tom.
Okay.
Any news about Tesla's dynamic skip fire technology? It limits which cylinders fire and when for fuel economy. I heard it was going to be in new cars by now.
That's interesting because that's two different things. Tesla does not use gasoline engines, so they wouldn't use skip fire. Skip fire is being developed, I think, by Delco, which is now a division of Delphi. I'm sorry, Delphi is the company developing that. And this is like advanced cylinder deactivation. So essentially, your VA can be running on four cylinders some of the time, and it's coming soon.
Okay. And then finally, 847 area code says, has Tom heard of the Nissan Kicks? I just heard about it on the radio, went to the site, and oh my God, is this thing going to sell?
I think it's going to sell pretty well. That's the car we were talking about earlier that was launched at the LA Auto Show.
Right.
Sort of a sub-subcompact crossover.
Okay. All right. Great. Listen, Tom, always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank
and,
you.
And people can read all of your stuff, including I also want to mention that you have a really wonderful piece about the luckless Irish remembering the 59 Shamrock, which I thought was fun to read. And also the Reader's Strike Back. You're never going to get these people to stop writing in with their favorite car grills. This is
no.
This has become a phenomenon.
Grills was a touchy subject.
Yeah. So if you want to see some of those choices, it's all at consumerguide.com and cgdailydrive.com. And you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Tom, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. All right. There you go, everybody. Tom Appel. All right. We'll take a break. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN.